Welcome to the Mindful Midlife Crisis, a podcast for people navigating the complexities and possibilities of life's second half. I'm your host, Billy Lahr, an educator, personal trainer, meditation teacher, and overthinker who talks to experts who specialize in social and emotional learning, mindfulness, physical and emotional wellness, cultural awareness, finances, communication, relationships, dating, and parenting, all in an effort to help us better reflect, learn, and grow so we can live a more purpose-filled life. Take a deep breath, embrace the present, and journey with me through the Mindful Midlife Crisis. Welcome to the Mindful Midlife Crisis. I'm your host, Billy Lahr. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are. The purpose of this show is to help you navigate the complexities and possibilities of life's second half using my No BS GPS guide to finding more purpose and passion in your life. Because as you know, I am sick and tired of people telling you to follow your passions, because that is complete and utter nonsense. Purpose and passion are destinations, not departure zones. So if you need some help navigating which direction you want your life to go, schedule a free exploration call with me by visiting www.mindfulmidlifecrisis.com or click on the link in the show notes where I provide even more goodies for you. By practicing intentional and mindful living over the last 10 years, I've learned how to better navigate the trials, tribulations, and successes of my own midlife crisis. Being more intentional and mindful has helped me process my ruminating thoughts, anxiety, and stress in a much healthier way by reducing my emotional reactivity and impulsive behavior, which in turn has helped me improve my relationships and communication with others, as well as be more consistent, disciplined, patient, and productive in meeting my goals. These are the same skills, strategies, and resources I have used in my personal life based on years of research and experimentation to find a bit more calm amidst the chaos. And trust me, there are still days when I'm a hot mess, but my hope is that by sharing my experiences as well as the experiences of my guests, you'll see that you are not alone in your experience. So if you're looking for a little more direction and clarity in life, visit www.mindfulmidlifecrisis.com, schedule your free exploration call with me, and let me be your GPS to finding more purpose and passion in life. This week's episode comes from a recent Meditate and Mingle session that I lead every Monday evening at 8 p.m. Central Time. You're welcome to follow along with the guided practice and reflect on what came up for you, what was difficult for that practice, what surprised you, and how you'll use this practice moving forward on your own time. Or you can go to www.mindfulmidlifecrisis.com and click on the Meditate and Mingle banner at the top and sign up for future sessions. I would love to see you there. Not only is it a great way to cultivate a mindfulness practice, but it's an opportunity for you to connect with people from all around the world whose experiences may resonate with yours. This week's guided practice is a breathwork exercise called extending the exhale. This is an important practice because the way the body breathes can tell you a lot about what you are experiencing. When you're anxious or angry, you may find the breath to be shallow or rapid. When you are resting, the breath slows down and is often deeper. The relationship between the breath, the body, and the mind goes both directions. By breathing more deeply, you are telling the nervous system you are safe. This exercise engages the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for feelings of safety, relaxation, and ease. It works well when you are experiencing anxiety, anger, or any other emotion that increases the heart rate. We actually had a fascinating conversation around breathwork episodes 48 and 49 with Colin Purcell and Anna Schlegel. If you want to check out that two-parter, very, very fascinating information about the power of breathwork. But without further ado, let's get to this week's Meditate and Mingle session, extending the exhale. How have you incorporated any of the mindfulness practices or any of the conversations just in your day-to-day life recently?
I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways is that mindfulness doesn't always just mean like straight up meditating. It's more like being mindful of or noticing your surroundings, kind of your awareness of that. And so I think there's certain times of the day where I'll be more in touch with that, whether it's like I'm brushing my teeth or like taking a shower or having food is what I've been trying to do recently, is like focus on the experience of eating and flavor and taste versus just, you know, kind of powering through and just like being racing. So like taking time to like focus on the little things and the sensations we notice around us.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that we're actually doing a mindful eating practice next week. So we can actually do that in-house. So, Jeff, I can hear you chuckling. So just make sure you have some M&Ms or some grapes or some raisins available. We can do a little mindful eating next week.
I'm excited. Excited for that one. I just eat and think later. That'd be good to be in tune with what I'm chewing on.
Yeah. Listen, having worked in education all those years, I'm so used to just shoveling food in my mouth and then not thinking about what I'm eating and then being like, oh, I don't even know if I tasted that. So, yeah, trying to enjoy flavors a little bit more just by slowing down a bit. It's still a struggle because I always feel like I got to get from point A to point B as quick as possible. And it's like, no, just... not even the entire meal, just enjoying a few bites here and there. But we'll talk about that more depth next week. Alice, anything that you've been implementing the last week or two?
I would say I'm a pretty happy person overall, but there are times when out of the blue, I will just feel like a lot of emotion coming up. And then I start like, feeling like tears like running down my face, which is really weird because usually on that day I'm not having a terribly bad day, so there's no reason for me to be emotional. But then I think like maybe like something that had happened a long time ago, like I feel as if I'm somehow processing it in that moment when my guard is down, and that is like causing me to get really, I guess, teary-eyed. And when that happens, I try not to, I mean, sometimes I will just be riding the subway and I will feel it happening. And I try not to like make a big show out of this. And, you know, I try not to create any sounds, but if it happens, I just let the tears flow. And yeah, I just like, you know, check in with myself, like, you know, just try to hold it in and reflect on that and kind of be grateful about it instead of being like really annoyed and embarrassed.
Well, can you talk about being grateful for it? That, what an interesting perspective.
Well, so what happens is, I think usually leading up to that point, like I'm not feeling that great. Usually I'm feeling kind of crappy, but then once I somehow like release my tears and stuff, like I do feel lighter. So I just feel as if something is being let go.
I think of that as catharsis. That's how I always think of, because I've had those situations too where I've been even sitting in meditation. And then I can feel the emotion coming on, and then I will put up a wall and be like, no, I don't need to feel this. And then finally I'll just succumb to the emotion, and I found myself just weeping. And then when it's all kind of done, like you said, I just feel lighter. I actually feel better. There's a feeling of catharsis. So I really like that you use that word grateful, that you feel grateful for even having that emotion and sitting with that emotion. So thank you for sharing that perspective. I really appreciate it. Our practice today is called extending the exhale. It's going to be a little challenging. It's going to be some breath work. And I'll actually have you lie on the ground for this one, and I'll get you into that position here in a little bit. But the way the body breathes can tell you a lot about what you're experiencing. And I think just kind of going to Alice's point, if we don't take time to deal with those difficult emotions are going to present themselves at an inopportune time. So when you're anxious or angry, you might find that the breath feels shallow or it feels rapid. And when you're resting, the breath slows down and is deeper. And so this relationship between the breath and the body and the mind goes both ways. By breathing more deeply, you are telling the nervous system that you are safe And you can use that when you are in those moments where you're like, no, I don't want this emotion to bubble up right now. So I'm going to communicate to my nervous system that I am safe. And then I can explore this emotion later. But just being intentional about coming back to the emotion. Because what's happening here is something like in this breathing practice that we're going to do today, it engages the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for feelings of safety, relaxation, and ease. And one thing that I learned recently is that mindfulness actually shrinks our amygdala. And our amygdala is what's responsible for our fight, flight, or fright response. So it shrinks it. Now, I didn't realize that there was that actually took place. But what it then also does is it builds up, it fortifies the gray matter in our prefrontal cortex, which regulates those emotions of safety, relaxation, and ease. So a breathing exercise like this, mindfulness like this, works well when you're experiencing feelings like anger, anxiety, or any other emotion that may increase the heart rate. Another thing that I have learned when we do breath work is really focusing on breathing into the stomach, breathing into the abdomen. I'm someone who, when I used to breathe, I used to hike up my shoulders when I breathe. And what that's actually doing is it's actually activating those emotions like anger, anxiety. It's increasing the heart rate because just that hiking motion is a motion that cues the brain that, hey, you're in distress. So a way that we can bring a feeling of calm, of relaxation, of ease to our body, communicating it through the breath, is by breathing into the stomach. And I think the easiest way for us to do a breath work like what we're going to do today, where we extend the exhale, is by lying on the ground. So for this practice, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and lie on the floor with your feet uncrossed, falling away from each other, arms at your side. And I'll give you some time to go ahead and get into that position. And now that you've found a comfortable position, I invite you to close your eyes, or if it's more comfortable, you can simply lower your gaze. And now let's take a moment to settle in using our breath with a long, slow, but even inhale through the nose. And then slowly letting that air back out at the same slow, even rate through the nose on the exhale. Just take a few deep breaths like this, inhaling slowly and evenly, focusing on filling your belly with air, and then slowly and evenly, gently letting your belly fall on the exhale. Now find the natural rhythm of your breath, still taking in the air through the nose and filling your belly with that air. And on your exhale, letting the air pass through the nostrils gently while softening the belly. Using these breaths to quiet the mind by just focusing on each inhale and each exhale, allowing yourself to simply just be. During this meditation, you'll notice that your mind may wander or get lost in thought. Just know that this is a very normal occurrence. So when that does happen, which inevitably will, just bring awareness to where the mind went, and then gently bring your attention back to our intended focus. And we'll start by bringing your breath into awareness. And choosing one place in the body on which to feel the breath. And usually that's the abdomen, as the belly rises and falls on each breath. Or it's the chest, as the lungs inhale and exhale. And I'm going to cue your breathing. So I'll ask you to breathe in for 3 seconds and then breathe out for 4. And I'll count that in. So on your next inhale, 1, 2, 3, exhale. For 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale for 1, 2, 3. Exhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep that count on your own. Remember to put the focus on where you feel the breath rather than how long you're breathing. And now make the breath a bit longer by inhaling to a count of 4 and exhaling to a count of 5 on your own. Let's lengthen again, this time breathing in for 5 seconds and extending the exhale for 7 seconds. Remembering to keep your attention on the sensation in the body as you breathe. And as the time passes, I'll simply say lengthen. And when I do, allow your inhales and your exhales to lengthen as much as you're able. Maybe adding a second or two onto each, but remembering that the exhale should be longer than the inhale. And see if you can encourage yourself to breathe more deeply without straining. Lengthen. Lengthen and continue inhaling and exhaling through the nose. Lengthen one last time. And now let go of the counting and take a few deep breaths through the nose at your own pace. Return to your breath without returning to shallow breathing right away, reminding yourself that you are safe. And as we bring this meditation to a close, allow yourself to come back to your breath feeling the air pass through the nostrils on the inhale, and on the exhale, expelling the air evenly and naturally through the nose. And when you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes and take inventory of the sensations of your body and bring awareness to your surroundings.
Welcome back. Let's take a quick break to reflect on what came up for you, what surprised you, what was challenging, and what new awarenesses are present within you. And when we come back, you'll hear from the group about what came up for them and how they plan to use this practice moving forward. Thank you for listening to the Mindful Midlife Crisis. Thank you for listening to the Mindful Midlife Crisis. If you're enjoying what you've heard so far, please do me a favor and hit the subscribe button. Also, giving the show a quick 5-star review with a few kind words helps others find and benefit from this podcast just like you are. Finally, please spread the wealth of free knowledge and advice in this episode by sharing it with the people in your life who may find this information and my mission to help others live a more purpose-filled life valuable. My hope is that these conversations resonate with others and inspire people to live their best lives. Thanks again. And now, back to the show.
So what was that experience like for you? What was challenging? What was surprising? What came up for you?
I was surprised at how challenging when I got to like the 8-second inhale and the 9-second exhale, I felt like that was going to be my max.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then next thing you know, I was at like 11 and 12.
Yeah.
And just initially it was really hard to control how slow I was inhaling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause I wanted to take a deep inhale with each second that I was counting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, as time went on, it just flowed so much easier, like without trying as hard. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's a great observation. And I'll kind of tie that into an experience I had. I'm curious if any of you kind of have a euphoric feeling right now, like an energized feeling or a buzzed feeling. Or maybe what is your feeling right now? Jeff, you still have your mic on, so you can go ahead. What's kind of like what's your feeling right now?
Super relaxed. You know, I trained my mind a little for this feeling because I had entered a session not that long ago. I'm usually a troubled sleeper, and I went through meditations and different guided things to help me go to sleep better. And this was one of them. So in transparency, I did a lot of yawning there.
Yeah.
So I struggled with that too, because I would be in a deep inhale and all of a sudden the yawn would pop up, right? Like, you know, getting into the breathing patterns, and like that's where a lot of the sleep meditation stuff is too, is like just be aware of your inhales and exhales. And I was starting to put myself asleep.
When you had mentioned that, you know, you were like, when I got to the 8 and to the 9 second inhale, exhale, did you feel any sense of distress during that time, or were you able to regulate the breath? Because you said you wanted to take that natural inhale, and I think that's fairly normal. When you get to the bottom of that 9-second exhale, that's actually kind of a long exhale, because you might be sitting there for 1 or 2 seconds without being completely empty, without inhaling. And then there's kind of that natural instinct to be like, like that. Did you have that experience at all?
I did. And I feel like I had that more in the middle of the session than I did when it got longer.
Oh, can you talk about that a little bit? What do you think shifted for you?
It's a good question. I felt like initially when because my brain was going back and forth between like where I was feeling the air, right? And I think when I always have it kind of an issue with nasal breathing, but I know it's healthier, better, right? But I feel like it's a little constricted. So there were times around that 7, 8, 9 seconds where I just felt like I wasn't getting enough when I was inhaling. But something, when it became more controlled, it felt like enough air, even if it was the 10-second inhale. It just, because then I was feeling it more in my, you know, then I could feel like my ribs expanding and contracting, and it felt more, I don't know, felt like a deeper, even though the breath was going in slower, it felt like I was gaining more, if that makes sense.
Well, it sounds like you were able to better gauge it in your body, what it feels like to fill it up at a slow pace. And then you were able to recognize too that, oh, hey, like I'm able to actually slow this down a little bit, but still get enough air and get to whatever the count is, and not even putting so much focus on the count, almost removing a little bit of focus from the count and focusing more on how the body is internally counting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Becoming one with the carpet.
Yeah, that's always a good feeling when you sink into the ground like that, sink into the carpet or the bed, wherever you're doing that kind of breath work. Alice or Luke, what came up for you? What were some sensations? What were some challenges? What surprised you?
Yeah, I think when you first said, okay, now we're going to add more time, I was like, oh. But it got easier as I went on. One of the things I noticed was that it wasn't easy for me breathing in to initially transition to like breathing out. So I feel like each time I breathed in, there would also be like a second or two where I just kind of held my breath and sat with it and then breathed it out. Yeah, it almost kind of felt like a more natural transition to me between the two. And I think during it too, my body like made like a huge gurgle noise like midway through. So that was kind of like, oh, I wonder what's kind of going on. It kind of just like drifted into that. But then yeah, at the end, kind of getting up, I was like, oh, I kind of feel like a almost like a floaty feeling, kind of like a natural high from all the air like going into deep breaths going in and out.
Yeah, that's what I'm experiencing too. So I was curious if anybody else was feeling that way. And I feel like that's such a underrated perk of doing breath work like this, is that you can actually get that high off of it. It's something that one of my meditation teachers, Colin Purcell, he calls it the caffeine breath, where you feel like that high, right? I can't remember if he calls it the caffeine breath or the Xanax breath. One of them, there's a high to it that he talks about. And so that's, I kind of have that, like, here's the other thing is I don't know if it's lightheadedness or if it's this euphoria, this high that I have, but it feels more like a euphoric high than it does lightheadedness. So thank you for sharing that. I was curious if I was the only one that was experiencing that or if other people were too. Alice, what came up for you? What was challenging? What did you find surprising? What was that experience like?
For me, the feeling that came up, first of all, was this feeling of self-consciousness, because I'm at a guest house. And so, you know, we're sitting here right now. This is normal looking. But then when you talked about lying down, I was like, shit, what if someone like walks in and sees me lying on the ground? And they're like, what is she doing on the ground like that? I was like, is someone going to judge me if I do this? Right? So that was like the first thought that came up. But then as I got into the thing a bit more, I started to relax. And I was like, yeah, I didn't get that much sleep last night. I guess like it's good time for me to just check in with that, my sleep hours. And yeah, and then I started to like loosen up. And yeah, it was, I actually felt that this meditation could have been longer, you know, because I was like, just as I was about to get into it, you were like, time's up.
Well, I'm curious, do you feel like that self-consciousness at the beginning impacted your ability to do the 4 second inhale, 5 second exhale, or did that not have any impact?
I mean, it wasn't like my first time doing the inhale and exhale, like drawn out. So I managed to go through it, but it was just like, yeah. So I was following you and I was listening and trying to copy what you were saying. But yeah, I guess it was like, I was not feeling like loose. I was like, you know, looking sideways a little bit.
So did you find that the breathing then helped you settle into it and let go of some of that self-consciousness?
Yes. Yeah.
So how did that feel then as you started to sink into the breath and let go of self-consciousness?
I just felt calmer.
Well, I'm glad all of you are sharing these experiences here, because I think this is, you know, breathwork is such an easy takeaway when it comes to those high stress situations, those self-conscious situations, those highly emotional situations, where we can implement and activate a breathing meditation like this in the moment. And so, you know, a big part of what I'm trying to coach people and show people and teach people is how we can implement in the moment mindfulness, because most people can't just bust into a 10 to 15 minute meditation when they're feeling stressed during a meeting. You can't just do that. So then what is something that's practical that you can do in a meeting or that you can do in a stressful conversation? And it's doing something intentional, like inhaling for 3 seconds and exhaling for 4 seconds. I think just even going back to what Alice said about feeling self-conscious, if you're tuned into your body, you know where you feel self-consciousness in the body. You know where you feel anxiety in the body if you choose to tune into it. The more that we practice, even those moments where, you know, like Alice has, you know, actually has the, is fortunate enough to be on the subway, where you can just kind of sit with what is present with me right now. Jeff and Luke, you guys might, well, Luke, I don't think you commute, and Jeff, I don't know if you commute or not, but I think if people, they do commute, I think I've talked about this in the past, that tendency to hop out of the car and get into the office right away, where it might just benefit you to turn the key off, turn the ignition off, and sit in your car for 3 minutes and inhale for 3 seconds and exhale for 4 seconds. And then lengthen that to a 4, into a 5, into a 5, into a 7. And those are 3 minutes. The first minute you're doing a 3 to 4. The second minute you're doing a 4 to 5. And the third minute you're doing a 5 to 7. And then in the fourth minute, if you've got that fourth minute, you can be like, all right, what is present with me? What is here with me? What am I carrying into the day? So that I am aware of what is present now. And then also understanding too that at noon, what you were carried into the morning is probably not there so much. Now it's something else. Is it magnified? It might be. Is it gone? It might be. Is there something new there? Most likely. And so then taking that time at noon to say, all right, I'm going to take the next 3 minutes to inhale for 3 and exhale for 4. Because then what you're doing is you're taking that parasympathetic nervous system and you're communicating to it that, hey, you're in a safe space, that you're not in danger. You know, you might be stressed, yes, but you're not in danger. And I think what happens is too often we allow those stress responses to manifest into feelings of danger, feelings of attack. And then that's what heats up that amygdala. That's what heats up that fight, flight, or fright response. So put this little meditation in your back pocket and pull it out, I would say, in the morning. It's a good, easy way to start your day. People always talk about, I don't have time to meditate. You've got 3 minutes. Throw the bonus minute on there and sit with what is present. You do. Make it a 5 minute one and just in the first minute, do what we did before and just take a deep inhale and take a deep exhale evenly. And then move to 3 to 4 in the second minute, 4 to 5 in the third. Now you've got a 3 to 5 minute meditation practice that you can implement multiple times throughout the day. And I think what you'll find then is that, oh, wow, I'm actually more mindful. And I know that that's obnoxious when people say be more mindful and they have really no idea what they mean by that. Now you can be more mindful in practice because you have this 3 to 5 minute practice that you can implement throughout the day. So that's my challenge to you moving into the next week, is where can you implement that and not just doing it once, but being consistent and disciplined with it. So where in your day can you do it? Alice, you might be able to do it on the subway. When I was in Seoul, I a lot of times would just find myself sitting for 3 to 5 minutes and doing a breathing exercise. Weirdly enough, I find the subway to be very calm and relaxing. I know that not everybody has that relationship with the subway, but I love the subway. There's a calmness to it. There's a calmness in the chaos. But then, you know, Luke, think about where you can implement it throughout your day. And I know you and I have talked about those transition moments between meetings, right? And Jeff, just looking throughout your day, I imagine getting the kids ready for school, there's those moments right there. So then is there time, is there 3 to 5 minutes before or after that chaos of the kids in the morning where you can implement that? And then finding time around the noon hour and then finding time in the evening. And if you do that 3 to 5 minutes, 3 times a day, you're at 10 to 15 minutes of a meditation practice, of a mindfulness practice. What you may find then is, oh, maybe there is more time in my day to do this. Maybe I don't need to be entertained by my phone in those 3 to 5 minutes. Maybe I can just sit here and listen, not vilifying the phone, because I am just as bad about that as anybody else. But when I am intentional around taking those breaths, then I find myself being far more productive and far more emotionally regulated. Any last thoughts with that before we close the session out?
I'll just add that I had put into practice a little bit. So this timing is pretty awesome, because last week it was one of the most stressful weeks. Thursday was like one of the most stressful days I've had in a long time. And I was actually leading. We have a leadership thing in our work called Project Lead the Way. And as an individual contributor, we get one session throughout the year that we get to lead. And mine happened to be on emotional intelligence and self-awareness, which was great timing for this, right? So part of what I even brought up in that was, you know, the shrinking the amygdala, which I just learned last week, and mindfulness meditation. So I even said in the class, I said, I will be attending Billy's mindfulness meditation because I keep talking about it. But I did try a practice called box breathing, which I'm sure you're aware of, you know, Navy SEALs use it. And I used that before that meeting because I was super stressed about how am I going to lead an hour and a half conversation on a subject that I've studied for a couple of weeks. And it's, you know, it's just something when it's with your peers, there's just something nervous about it because you're always feeling like you're being judged, right? But I took like the first few minutes before that meeting started and just practiced, you know, just getting the heart rate down, doing that inhale, exhale, and hold, you know, thing. And it made a huge difference. I felt like when the meeting started, I was a different person than I was 5 minutes before it began. So there's something to be said about the breathing.
Yeah. And that's a great example of in the moment mindfulness too, and where you can put this practice to use in the moment. I'm glad that you were able to do that. And you know, I think about, you know, both you and Luke are musicians and performers, and you sing too, Jeff. So I imagine that just breath work is so crucial in performing and singing. And so you have to be loose and you have to be able to let go with breath in order to get the notes out, in order to get the words out, in order to hit whatever it is that you're singing. And I really do think that there's a lot of crossover, carryover to just our day-to-day in terms of, you know, hey, if we're able to perform in this way, where it's creative and it's subjective, then that very much transfers over, carries over to how we perform in a meeting, and just kind of letting go of that nervousness or the self-consciousness or that feeling that you're about to be judged. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy, but it's always a work in progress. But that's what I keep coming back to, this idea of being intentional around it.
Thank you for listening to The Mindful Midlife Crisis. New episodes come out every Wednesday to help you get over the midweek hump. If you'd like to contact me, or if you have suggestions about what you'd like to hear on the show, visit www.mindfulmidlifecrisis.com and click Contact Us. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for the newsletter to get free weekly meditations, as well as free resources from our Reflect, Learn, Grow program. You can also click on the show notes for links to the articles and resources we reference throughout the show. If you want to check out my worldly adventures, follow me on Instagram at mindful_midlife_crisis. My hope is that my trials, tribulations, and successes will inspire you to take intentional action to live a more purpose-filled life. And while you're at it, remember to show yourself some love every now and then, too. Thanks again. And now, back to the show. Welcome back to the Mindful Midlife Crisis. I hope you enjoyed this week's Meditate and Mingle session. What were your takeaways from this session? What new awarenesses are present with you now? How might you apply this newfound awareness in your day-to-day life moving forward? Shoot me an email at billy@mindfulmidlifecrisis.com or a message on Instagram at mindful_midlife_crisis and share your thoughts with me. If this session resonated with you, and if you feel like cultivating a regular mindfulness practice will hydrate the mind, body, and soul, go to www.mindfulmidlifecrisis.com and click on the banner at the top to get more information about how you can join our Meditate and Mingle community. Remember, mindfulness isn't about staring blankly at a wall and clearing your mind of all thoughts. It's about sitting in awareness with openness, curiosity, compassion, and non-judgment. So if you suddenly become aware that you're not where you want to be in life, congratulations, you are practicing mindfulness. My job is to help guide you through that process so you can reflect, learn, and grow. And cut yourself some slack. Progress is not linear. Our growth looks more like the stock market. Some days we're up, some days we're down, and we may not reap the benefits for a while. But if we play the long game and are consistent, disciplined, patient, and self-compassionate, you'll see that your investment in yourself will pay huge dividends over time. If this episode inspired you to invest yourself in a new way, please do me a favor and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I would also greatly appreciate it if you would share this episode with the people in your life who may find some value in it. And if you do that, please tag us on the social medias. I really appreciate that. I love knowing who's listening to these episodes. Because the purpose of the show is to help you navigate the complexities and possibilities of life's second half. And I hope this free and useful information provides some insight that will guide you towards living with more purpose and passion in your life. So with that, this is Billy. Thank you for listening to the Mindful Midlife Crisis. May you feel happy, healthy, and loved. Take care, friends.